Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is your brother, Kareem Hamid, inviting you to join in the study group of the lecture of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, broadcast Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time here on American Muslim 360. The first hour, we shall play a lecture or address from Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi, and in the second hour, we shall open up the telephone line and share with each other the various beneficial points of interest contained in the lecture or address. So join the study group of the lectures of Imam Waqifuddin Muhammad Rahimahullah alayhi on the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose every Saturday at 6 a.m. Central Standard Time on American Muslim 360. Let's share. Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We open with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. We believe and we trust in him. We ask him for help. We ask him for forgiveness, and we trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. Ameen. As-salamu alaykum. Let his peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give, as we welcome you once more to the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. And this is the broadcast of the evolution of revolutionary thought and created purpose. I am your host, Kareem Hamid, along with you this morning, as we enter into another study session of the addresses and lectures of our beloved Imam Waliduddin Muhammad Rahimullah Alayhi. Praise be to Almighty God. I am honoring a request of a faithful follower, one that has given long-time support to American Muslim 360 and the community-wide Shura Conference. And this person is Muhammad Sharif. He has been a dedicated supporter of the community-wide Shura Conference and the Model Community National Resource Directory and American Muslim 360. He asked if I would replay an address that we have shared over at least the last 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. And he asked if I would, this morning, replay that address. It is entitled, Heaven, the Leadership in Religion and Identifying the Shaitan. So in respect of our strong supporter, I informed him that I would replay this address. It is a very, very valuable address. Praise be to Allah. So without further ado, I want to begin this address this morning. I pray that you stay with me. Stay with me and be willing to share what Allah bless you with from out of this wonderful address, Heaven, the Leadership in Religion, Identifying Satan. If when you want to make commentary or ask a question, I ask if you would to press 1 on your phone, I will open up your mic. And let me express that we are grateful that that this country have chose to set aside a special day for the most important member in our society, and that is motherhood. That is motherhood. There's a history that comes along with Mother's Day that, inshallah, I hope to share with you later on in this broadcast. Praise be to Allah. So we shall begin the address once more. Heaven, the Leadership in Religion, Identifying Satan.
We have many traditions that carry great messages. If we only had the knowledge to unlock the message in those traditions. You know, the people in religion, they have been taught of a heaven and a hell, or of an earth and a heaven. And Jesus' prayer, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we, as adopted and I say adopted because the Bible used this term, we as adopted people in the religion of Christianity, we have never been given the knowledge of the two heavens of the Bible. There are two heavens. And it's not just in Christianity or Judaism. You can go in many nations of the world who believe in religion, who believe in spiritual worship, and you will find them believing in an earthly heaven as well as a spiritual heaven. A heaven on earth as well as a spirit as a heaven after what we call physical death. So in Scripture, when you are reading about heaven, many times you're only reading about the leadership in religion. The leadership in the religion, they represent the heaven. And when they come down here with the masses and sacrifice their high position in heaven, that is called coming down from heaven to earth. And Jesus was one who was never in the heavens of the Jews, but he was lifted up to heaven by God. And then he preached among the people called the poor, the unlearned, or what we would call today the grassroots people or the masses. He taught among them. So he was one from another world teaching in a world that was not his own. And that's what he said. He said, this world is not mine. Because God had lifted him up to a higher world. And then he had come down and sacrificed his peace, his happiness in that world to live among sinners so that their lives would be lifted up too to that heaven. And he prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His prayer was to God, that was for God to bring the leadership down to earth. And when you read the Bible, you see a trend there, a movement. There's a movement from Genesis to Revelation. The Satan, the enemy of God, he's moving up trying to get to heaven. Not because he wants to be heavenly, but because he wants to rule heaven and earth. So the enemy of God, he's trying to get up to heaven. And the prophet of God, he's trying to bring heaven down to the people. You see? So those are the two movements. Please don't clap. Allahu Akbar. It takes time, and we have a schedule here today that we have to obey. All right. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, the sustainer, the guardian sustainer of all the world. So when we understand these two movements, then we understand the heaven that you should be living in now, as well as the heaven you should prepare to enter at the end of time. It's more important for us to bring heaven down to earth than it is for us to just give our whole life to hoping and praying and wishing for our heaven after the earth is no more. Most of those who put all of the important places, all the important on the heaven when the earth is no more, they neglect to do their job on this earth. And they leave their lives to the forces of wickedness and to a hell on earth. The key to coming out of hell on earth is the knowledge that earth is also prepared by God to be turned into a heaven for people. We are told that there once was a paradise, a garden, and that the mankind, the ancestors, our ancient ancestors, our first ancestors, they lived in a paradise. That God put them in a garden, into a paradise. We weren't told that they had to be killed before coming into that paradise. We were told that God put them into that paradise, and that mistakes, weakness, and wickedness caused them to lose their place in that paradise. So this is simple. This is simple thieving. The only thing we have to do to bring that paradise again, or to put ourselves again in a paradise, is to stop behaving wickedly in the earth and turn our hearts completely to God and give our life completely to his cause and obey him and don't listen to the whispers of the devil. Don't listen to the temptations of flesh, but give ourselves wholly to Almighty God, and we can reverse this thing and put ourselves again in a garden or in a paradise on earth. In the last of the Bible, called the Revelation, a city is seen coming down from the sky to the earth. A city of equality and justice. A city of light. Says that the city was built cubical, had a lot of squares in it, 12 times 12, a lot of squares in it. What does this mean? It means equality. It was a city of equality. And then it says that its measurement was 144, 12, and 144. What does this mean? 12 represents the whole world, universalism. We have 12 hours in the day. We have 12 signs in the zodiac. The zodiac is the clock or the sign in the heavens, in the sky, for that universe, for this one we belong to. Okay, and the 12 hours, that's the cycle of day. And we have 12 hours for night. They don't always fall exactly in that enough proportion. But we give 12 for night and 12 for day. So 12 stands for the whole world, for all the hours of the day and for the whole world. And the Bible is only saying that there's coming a time when the whole world is going to come into one truth, and that truth is going to be God's truth, Almighty God's truth, and that the whole world is going to live the whole life, all the hours of the day is going to be spent in that life. Not 6 hours to something and 6 hours to another, but all the hours shall be given to God, and all the world shall come to God. And a community based on God, the worship of one God, obedience to his law, reflecting his truth, a community of light lit with the truth of God, is going to come down from the sky as a hope of the people, to the earth as a reality for the people. This is the scripture that you have. This is what the scripture that you have, you Christians and Jews, the scripture that you have tell you these things. Allah revealed the Quran, the last and complete and perfect revelation to Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And this Quran makes these things perfectly clear. But unless you know how to read the Quran, and unless you are blessed by God to get the benefits from that book, you won't see that the Holy Quran is telling more clearly, telling more plainly, without the problems, without the confusion, without the corruption. Islam, the Quran is telling it perfectly clear without any problem. The same thing that the Bible tells us, and that is that man was made by nature to live a good life, and to give his soul and his whole life to his Creator. But deceivers, wicked forces in life, take the man away from his nature. And when man is taken away from his original nature, or taken away from his God-given nature, he falls under the artificial forces of the society. And those artificial forces, those lying concepts, those lying ideologies, those false, corrupt ideas, philosophies, and ideologies, they begin to feed the mind of the man and take his nature further and further away from that God established him in from the very beginning. And God has to send his messengers to correct the problem. But as fast as his messengers come to correct the problem, the wicked forces try to crucify, try to assassinate, try to kill and shed the blood of truth that messenger brought. So God sends another one behind him. Bring it back again. And another one, bring it back again. And this is to continue according to scripture, according to old scripture, until the end of time, until the wicked have spent all of their energy and don't have any energy left to contend with God. The Bible calls this the fullness of the Gentiles. When the Gentiles shall have reached their fullness, the Gentiles have no power of their own to bring themselves into fullness. It is the forces of Judaism combined with the lies of a Jacobite people that brings the Gentiles to their fullness. They can't bring themselves to their fullness. It is the wicked forces in so-called Judaic scripture that have brought the Gentiles to their fullness. And what is this fullness? The fullness to the brim of moral decadence, of spiritual decadence, of lies and corruption, of racism and white supremacy. All of these things have been forced on the ignorant Gentile world by the hidden poison in so-called Judaic teachings. Those subtle hidden poisons that go under surface. They don't go on surface. They go under the surface. If they come out from under the ground and go on the surface, they come up as angels of light. So they cover their false, wicked image with false appearance of holiness. And the Bible says that the dragon, that old Satan, the devil, transformed himself into an angel of light. And the book says that he aspired. His aim was to sit on the very seat or the very throne of heaven. And he got himself up into the pulpit of Almighty God and presented himself as an angel of light. What is an angel in the Bible? The angel is a messenger of truth. Light means truth, religious truth. So here is Satan. He kept working until he got himself in the position where the people respect him and worship him and follow his word as though he is the messenger of God's truth. Now look, I'm telling you what your Bible tells you in plain language. Now I ask you, in case you have some problem, I ask you, what would be your plan if you were Satan and you wanted to take people from God? Wouldn't your best plan would be to put yourself in the image of God's angel? Wouldn't your best plan would be to present yourself as a priest? If you were the Satan and you had the power to plan how to take over God's rule, then you would try to get in and infiltrate God's kingdom. Infiltrate the heaven of God. Infiltrate the church leadership. Or if there was no church in your time, then you would plan how to build yourself a church and put your people over your church and dress them in the angel light of God. Our world has come under the forces of Satan. I'm not talking about the Satan that primitive people believe in. I'm not talking about a Satan that you identify in a headache, in a migraine headache, or in an arthritic pain that you can't explain, or in insanity that you find in some child and some the member in the community. I'm talking about the Satan mind that is clever, very clever, rational in its own darkness. A cold, sharp calculator that exists in human bodies and never have existed in anything but human bodies. This is the Satan we're talking about. Man, long time ago, overcome the Satan in headaches, in rheumatism, and in mental disease. Long time ago, we overcame that Satan. We identified him as psychological problems, chemical problems, muscular problems, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a Satan that the world has yet to identify and understand. And that's that Satan that wanted to capture God's kingdom, capture the righteous forces on earth, and present himself as the leader of those righteous forces to guarantee him and his servants that God will never be a problem for us anymore. And that is what has happened. Look what is happening to our religion here today. You go to the church and the church is nothing but a shell. There is no spiritual force in it. Long time ago, they had to use tambourine, drum, bugles, horn to drum up some spirit because there was no force in the word. Now they bring jazz in. Acid rock, witchcraft, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, dope. Not all of them, but I'm telling you what I know of some churches. Some are pushing dope. And most of them promote alcoholism. Communion tempts the weak person to drink. He sees the priest drinking wine, he thinks, good God Almighty, sure wish I had another bottle of that old good four roses or whatever they call it. So when he sees the priest drinking the holy wine, he remembers his sinful wine. The holy wine has the effect of making us remember the sinful wine. Then just happened. Satan has been moving against religion for a long, long time. His way is to corrupt the religion. His way is to corrupt it and take away your conscience so that you don't have any guilty conscience while you are living a corrupt life. His way is to make you feel comfortable as an adulterer, as a fornicator, as a liar, as a thief, as a deceiver. His way is to make you feel comfortable like that and still identify with Christianity, with Christ. This society that we live in is a so-called Christian society. It identifies with Christ, but it has more divorces, more rape, more adultery and fornication, more murder. There is more of all the major crimes happening in so-called Christian society than they are happening in the rest of the world combined. Isn't this evident? Isn't this clear evidence that Satan has taken over this so-called Christian life? Our life is not Christ-like. Our life is devil-like. We give ourselves as slaves to the rule of racism, to the rule of divisiveness, discrimination, to the rule of corruption, moral corruption, spiritual corruption, family corruption. We give ourselves to the rule of that. How many of us have the courage to even come up here and just repeat what I'm saying? How many of us have the courage to go home in the privacy of your own home and repeat what I'm saying? As soon as you leave here, you get fear on you. The hope is going to go out of you like a fizzle of wind. You don't have any more hope no more. Your strength is just robbed of you the moment I stop talking. You have been conditioned to believe that righteousness have no hope in this world.
Yeah, I'm checking the studio board to see if anyone have any statements they would like to share at this time. All praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. Yes, we have a hand that is raised, 727-741. As-salamu alaykum, Martha Lila Abdullah.
Alaykum as-salam, Kareem Hamid, and all the listeners this morning. God's peace be upon you. Martha Lila calling from St. Petersburg, Florida. Big question. Now we're hearing clearly, you know, the priesthood, the clergy. How does that connect? Okay, as you just mentioned, we're submissive to the racism. I'm sure it's the emotions of it all. But we still have today, you know, priesthood, and we're not submitting to it. And maybe perhaps that's where the clearance is in our mind now, that we're not submitting to it, but we're aware of its existence, and now we're made more aware of the intention of the development of those positions. And as we sharing information, it is, and I'm going to go for myself, it's not my intention of what I read in Quran and study for growth and development of my mind. When I'm in the presence of those who are in the positions that was just mentioned, and we're discussing getting to know one another, and so it's not to, to insult, I guess would be the word, of those present, but to educate on the intention of the development of those positions. And I'll stop right there as I'm thinking it through. As-salamu alaykum. Maybe he lost connection. One moment, everyone. He's probably signing back in. Okay. Working on getting connection to the studio, everyone. Let's see. Yes. I believe. Did he? Yes. Okay. He's signing back in, inshallah. All right. As I continue, the reference I'm making is we all want to be educated on the proper mannerism and not become guilty of being selfish or bodacious, beating our chest. See, we know now we have the information. So praise be to Allah, he's back. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. My phone, it will just shut down at any time. I'm not aware of when or, you know, it just does it. Three or four times a day. But you was mentioning that when you're in discussion with people of other faiths, what was your concern? You know, my phone dropped at that time. I'm sorry.
Okay. And I was expressing, you know, now that we're in the connection, we've been – blessed with the understanding of the existence of those positions. And unfortunately, you know, the persons who get into those positions nowadays, but we're being shared with the understanding of the existence of the position. So now when we connect with others, and even those the individuals that are currently in the positions, our understanding and we understand what it is, but when we discuss certain things of how to bring individuals into a better understanding, I guess is the word, a better understanding, and not to become haughty ourselves or you know, disagreeable or just, in other words, we don't become attacking, but we use the knowledge that we have to educate others on how Almighty God's world is, Almighty God's kingdom, world, how Almighty God's setup is, and how the difference is between ones being in leadership and following a clannish process. I don't want to get more words into it, but just that we understand not to develop a sense of I'm over you, or I know something that you don't know, that we really truly get into an educational connection with others who are in that priesthood or whatever kind of rulership.
Good question, Marcia. Praise be to Almighty God. A good question. For me, the answer is simple. Education. Those of us that believe in Almighty God and we try to follow what Allah has revealed, then we have been educated concerning the tools of the Satan. And we have to share that knowledge with those that are in the same field that we are in. The tools of the Satan: intoxicants, gambling, the dissolution of the family, and encourage them to speak out more on the damage of gambling. We have casinos all over the earth now. Intoxicants are all over the earth. And you, dear priest, dear rabbi, dear pastor, whatever, we are with you in this fight. We are with you. And you have our support in preaching against these devices that have been clearly identified to us as the tools of Satan. If you don't say nothing, if you're just expressing going to heaven and ignoring our responsibility and our obligation here on the earth to create a paradise here on the earth, then you are part of the problem. We have to identify those things that bring the human being down. I can't see us just sitting up just having a kumbaya meeting, and we're supposed to be on the same page, and that we do not address these things. That's my answer to that. It's not a superiority, or I'm better than you. No, we are all equal, and we are in this fight together. We're all equal. We're in this fight together. Education is key. Educate our religious leaders as to their obligation to fight the schemes of the shaitan. Educate your public, educate your congregation concerning the tool that the Satan uses to bring the human being down. To me, that I don't see anything. I can't see how there's a clash with that. I can't see how they would disagree with that. I hope I'm being clear.
Oh, yes, it's not yes, a, you are.
And, right. It's not an argument or a debate. Mm-hmm. It's not a debate. Once Allah has decreed a thing, our opinion is over. So, and then, you know, we have to point out the weaknesses that the human being have and how we are to strengthen the human being's moral character. We have to remind the religious order that we have a conscience, that we have a conscience, that when we do a wrong, we feel bad about it. If no one else sees us, we can't continue to live the life that Satan has designed for us and have no conscience. We just think that, well, this is part of it. This is the way it is. This is normal. It's not normal. So education, that's all. That's they can learn from us. And we can learn from them. We're in this fight together. I expressed to a family member of mine, look, the crusade is over. The crusade is over, where we fight one another for influence, political and material influence. That is over. The people of God have won. So these labels that we have for our communities, the Jewish community, the Christian community, the Muslim community, those are good identifiers. But if we just stay in our little enclave and we don't all join forces together, we see the influence of Satan is overwhelming. Because when we are not in league with one another, that we have to fight these forces that's bringing the human being down. I looked at something that was presented on YouTube yesterday. The streets of Philadelphia, the Kensington area. Take a look at what's going on. People are walking around like zombies, just laying in filth, so inebriated by drugs and alcohol that they're just out of it. We can't look at that and say, oh, well, that's just the way it is. No, that is not how Allah designed the creation and the human being to exist. So we are not averse to one another. We're on the same team. So that's, to me, that's how it's done. Not, well, I'm Muslim, so I am better than you. I'm Christian, so I am better than you. I'm Jewish, so I am better than you. It all comes from the same source, the one God. And the revelation is one continuous stream. And it concludes with the coming of the Quran. There are many similarities in Christian scripture that are similar to Quranic scripture. That's how we make the connection. But identify when the fight began. And we're all Adam. We're all in this fight together. That just makes sense to me. And my sister said, you know, you're so right. Satan has took over our lives, took the lives of our children, and we're fighting and arguing with one another. She said, Kareem, you're right. We have to fight the forces of Satan as one solid body. So that's how we should present this here. To me, that's how we should present it. I'm just saying. I hope that that answers, I mean, well, give a partial solace to your concerns, Martha.
It does. And, you know, as some may think, because we have interfaith dialogue going on, that we should be more, more pompous, more, and maybe I'm using the wrong word, but alhamdulillah, you know, that.
No, we
should be
more cohesive, more cohesive.
Yes, yes. And yes. And so that the understanding is, like I say, we understand the history behind the establishment of the priesthood and other clergy setup. And now we're not going to be so consumed with that as much as you just, I won't repeat what you just said about the harm to the human family as a whole, period. We're all at risk of the shaitan tactics, schemes. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes. Wa alaikum assalam. Praise be to Allah. For me, the purpose of interfaith dialogue, is that we join together in this fight. Well, what? Now, we don't just come together just to sip tea, eat cookies. You know, I'm not. You know what I'm saying? It has its value.
Yes.
But there are some major issues as a religious
mm-hmm.
body. There's some major issues as a religious body. And all of us are one. One. Oneness is the answer. Satan is an enemy to the human being. And we're all in this fight together. So that's my answer to that. You know, yes, we can. If you don't, if you are not against the proliferation of drugs across this world, and you claim to be a religious leader, then we have to question your qualifications for being a religious leader. Our marriages are failing. Divorce is rampant. What has happened? Where is that coming from? It's coming from the influence of Satan. And now here's something that's very, very, very critical. And it may cause some hard feelings. But, you know, I'm like this here. There are people that say, don't tell the truth because it may make them feel bad. But we're losing life all over the earth. And we're concerned about how someone's feelings may be bruised. But the death toll is continuously growing. Because I don't want to hurt your feelings. Thank God you have feelings. But these are things we must address. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, and there is a proper way of doing it with kind words, beautiful connection with scripture, discourse that is uplifting and not oppressive. We have to have the skill to know how to do that, to strengthen them. And us, we should talk up religious life and the value of it. All of us that believe in God and the last day. And we have a job to do here. We have a duty to Almighty God. We have to remind each other of that. I'm just saying. There's a way to do it. You don't have to come in and be all rough and stuff. Don't, as I stated yesterday, Allah asked in the Quran, who does a greater wrong than one who invents a lie about God? That's the greatest wrong. And we shouldn't beat up and humiliate those people that are the victim or the victims of a lie about God. We want to fault them. We shouldn't do that. Make the correction in a smooth, easy way. Don't say, well, yeah, so-and-so, they did this and they did that. They are victims of this Satan, of this satanic mind. Hate the sin, not the sinner, because many people are victims of the influences of the Shaitan. Identify to them how the Shaitan skillfully influences us into a lifestyle, a way of thinking, a societal structure that brings the human being down. That's, you know, that to me, that's the key. What are we coming together for, interfaith for? Just to have a party? Just to slap each other on the back? We have a common enemy, and that is the Shaitan. So there are ways of doing it. And I'm aware of people's feelings, but this must be done. We're going to hell in a handbasket. Okay, I hope that helps, Martha.
Oh, yes, it does. And it helps in the sense that, see, every third Thursday we have our interfaith dialogue, and we're evolving. And we've gotten to the point now that we enter into the governance, education, sociocultural, and economics. But, and so as we evolve, we want to turn now our attention to the community, and just like what you were stating, those things that are affecting all of our lives from a human perspective. And this is why we ask the question, what does being human mean to you? I'll stop right there. Thank you, Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Thank you, Martin. Excellent question. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to put your mic on mute. You can press one that will take you out of the queue, inshallah. And if you wish to share, press one, and I will definitely open up your mic. Thank you, Martin. Okay, Erico 779-770, assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaikum assalam. Kashan Kamal.
Excuse me?
You question about how do we fight the Satan, obey the Creator, do what he say do, we are with the kill. Assalamu alaikum.
You are sounding very muffled, my brother. It's hard for me to understand what you are saying. It is as if you are speaking inside of an empty barrel. You know,
I'm closer now. Can you hear me now?
Yes, now. There we go. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, my brother.
Wa alaikum assalam. My name is Henson Kamau from Rockford, Illinois. Talking about fighting the schemes of Satan, it's very easy. Obey Allah in every aspect of our life, and he's dead. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. You know, that's a very simplistic idea, but what has been presented as what Allah says, as what the Almighty God has said, is not what Allah has said. People have added into the revelation. They have put their biases into the revealed word of God. This idea of you can have the whole world just give me, or else this idea, the woman is the source of all the problems that we're faced with. Where did that idea, where did they get that idea? They got that idea from out of Scripture. The Quran comes to identify what is from God and what is not. So just say obey God. You know, that's we have to identify what is of God and what is not.
I clarify even further, brother.
Sir?
You don't mind? You don't mind, I clarify even further. You don't mind.
I didn't know you. Go ahead, my brother.
Allah says that obey Allah. You got a problem? Obey Allah. He's the messenger of Allah. Allah told us how to do it. It's for us to hear and obey. The problem is we don't hear and obey. I want you to take more time, brother. Something like.
Yes, wa alaikum as-salam. Yeah, you're correct. Hear and obey. But hear what? Hear that it's all right, you know, to just live loosely? Hear what? It's all right. Let's just sing and sing and shout and knock ourselves out.
Allah never said that, brother.
No,
Allah never said that.
You are right. You are right. You are right. I'm not disagreeing with you. The message is not made clear to those that are charged with delivering the clear message. Stay out of those casinos, people of my congregation. Stay out of the casinos, for gambling is the tools of Satan. It tears down families. It destroys relationships. It leads to all kinds of dangerous, very life-threatening situations. So,
Imam told us, they talk too much about Satan, of course, no room for God. So leave it. Leave it alone.
Just leave Satan alone, huh? No, we are to identify him.
You've already identified him. The thing you just said.
We already know. Yes, sir. Yeah, we know. And it is the obligation of the educated to educate those that are uneducated. We can't just have this and sit on it and glory in what we have. We have to share it with the whole world. El-Islam was revealed for the Reformation, to reform the whole world, not just us. No, the whole world. If you have something of value, you are to share it. And I say once again, sir.
Like our beloved sister Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, said, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Quran walking. That's to be everybody's time of life, but be the Quran walking. That'll solve the whole problem.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Alhamdulillah. But, you know, we have to identify. This address that I'm sharing with you is called Heaven, the Leadership in Religion, / Identifying Satan. Satan says one of the greatest things that I have done is that people don't believe that I exist. People don't believe that I exist. We're to pull the cover off of Satan. Identify how he can manipulate our thinking, our emotions, our value systems, how we have been influenced by an influencer. He's called the sub-planter. Sub means he goes under something, and he plants his idea without you even being aware of it. He's a sub-planter. He enters our unconscious part of our thinking and plants a seed. And you're not even aware that he has visited your sacred house, your brain. So that's so you can think that you're following the commandments of Almighty God, but Allah tells us that never is there something that Allah reveals that the Satan does not come up with something like unto it. Like unto it. See, so we have to be aware of that. We have to be aware and become educated. Allah taught Adam the nature of all things. Allah educated Adam, educated the prophet Jesus, prayers and peace be upon them both, Moses, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, and our beloved prophet Muhammad. He educated them. So it's not just simple to say, well, just follow your religion, not if the religion has been corrupted, not when it has hidden cues in it that undermine the overarching principles. I'll stop right there, my brother. I hope that helps all of us, because it's definitely helping me as I'm speaking. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Is there anything else, my brother?
No, sir.
Okay. Praise be to Allah. All right. Press 1 on your phone. That will take you out of the queue. And if you wish to speak once more, press 1, and I will open up your mic. I want to pause now for some important public service announcements. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligentsia component of the community-wide Shura Conference. We ask you, don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Abdul Shaheed, AM 360, host of Optimal Health. To all the mothers on this Mother's Day, we'd like to say thank you for all of the nurturing you have done, is doing, and will do in the future. The world community is in need of your nurturing power. Thank you. We salute you all. Happy Mother's Day.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. We shall return back to the address entitled Heaven, the Leadership in Religion, Identifying Satan.
That truth has no hope in this world. That obedience to God has no hope in this world. You have been programmed and conditioned to obey the devil, whether you like it or not. Enslaved people. There was no slave ever existed on the plantation. Any more slave than you are right here today. Those that scratched their heads, yes of all, they weren't as much of a slave as you are. Many of them had the courage to pray to God for a deliverer, right in the face of the slave master. and they were whipped for doing so. But many of them still had the love and the faith and righteousness and in a righteous God that they were seen praying again. And the slave master had to whip them over and over again. He had to kill some of them to stop them from praying for a deliverer who would show them a way into righteousness and truth. You are more a coward today than your slave parents were. You don't have the faith to even pray what I'm telling you. You know, you don't have the backbone, you don't have the courage to pray what I'm telling you. If you would just stand out on the street, stand out there on Madison and State, and say, oh God, please stop religion from acting against our lives. Please stop the white Jesus on the cross from making us feel inferior. Please stop it from enslaving the mind and robbing the minds of black people. Please remove the white image of divinity from our community. You don't have the courage to pray this. I tell you over and over, you don't have your own mind. If you had your own mind, you would respond like you got your own mind. You got an artificial mind. An artificial mind that has been made by you and put in the atmosphere for you to breathe into your head. And that's what you have done. You have breathed into your head an artificial mind that works against your very well-being, works against the nature, your nature to grow and overcome your problem. You can't grow. You can't overcome your problem. Because the leader in your body is an artificial mind that works for the slave masters of this world. I'm not talking about slave masters that want your physical arms and your physical legs in shackles. I'm talking about much greater slave masters. I'm talking about giants in the history of slave masters who know how to shackle your senses, shackle your morals, shackle your spirit and keep you weak and insipid, who spoke to us today and told us that we have to get more better responses from our government, that they don't have our well-being at heart, that they are not going to protect our families, they are not going to protect our moral life, they are not going to protect our spiritual life, they are not going to stimulate economic development in our community. He's telling us that there is no hope for you unless you exert your power, exert your forces. I don't care how small they are, how weak your forces are. He's telling you unless you exert the little power you have to irritate these people who are comfortable in their seats on your back, you are not going to get any place. That's what he's telling you. That's what he came here and told you. That's his method. He's working with us. I don't mean he's under our community, but he's a person who recognized the problem. He's fighting the same problems that we recognize and that we are fighting. But he is fighting them from his own office and from his own plans. We are fighting them from our office and from our plans. I thank Allah that he is fighting too. But if he saw the power of what I'm doing, he would leave his office. And he would join me. And he would go out as bravely as he came in here. He would go out to the churches. And if they wouldn't let him in, he'd carry a plaque demonstrating a poster, speaking what he want to say. And he would stand out there and he would demonstrate. He would force the word on their mind until they heard it. What is that word? We are not under the forces of police captains. We are not under the forces of mayors and governors and the army of the United States. We are not under the forces of the president. We are under the forces of a diabolical message that's in your Bible as a loaded gun to blow your damn brains out. And that's exactly what that message, that hidden message in the Bible has done. It has blown the brains out of the Western world leadership. So they give themselves to anything. They obey any wicked force. They don't know God. They don't know the power of God. Long ago, they gave themselves to forces rather than the powers of God. They trusted false images of God, false concepts of God. They trusted concepts of God, images of God that satisfied their weakness. Their weakness. Their weakness for racial superiority in the earth. They bought an image of God that looked like themselves from wicked people that gave them that image so that their power would be limited to themselves. If I worship a God in my image, I can't grow any bigger than that image. I have to have the proper image of God to grow bigger than that image. So if you give a Caucasian an image of God that is Caucasian, that Caucasian will never be able to grow bigger than a Caucasian. I don't care how much he loves God. I don't care how spiritual he becomes. He'll never be nothing but a Caucasian, because when he prays, he's looking at a Caucasian. He calls him Christ. He calls him Christ. He calls him the Son of God. He calls him a spiritual Savior. But when he looks at him, he sees a flesh Savior in his own image. So how can that Caucasian grow bigger than his own image when he doesn't have anything bigger than his own image to look at when he prays? And how can you, who don't look like that image, grow at all when you are looking at that image and praying?
Church before a bowl of fire,
like many of the ancient people used to do, and saw God in the image of a flame, it would be less destructive in our lives than the image that the world is bound down to now. Why? A flame, I can identify with a flame, just as you can identify with a flame. You get no more courage from identifying with a flame than I. But if you're a Caucasian and you bow down to a Caucasian image of God, and I am an alien and I bow down to that same image of God, you get more encouragement because you look like that image. I don't get the same encouragement when I look at you. If I don't get jealous, I become fearful of you. I said, this man, he looks like y'all. As a slave by the name of Julia, she said of the cruel Caucasian slave master, she said they look like God in the face, but act like the devils in their heart. Now listen to what this slave said. This is in a book written by a German, I think. Prophecy in America, a book on slavery. I can't recall the title of the book, but we can get it if you demand it. We can look it up. This book, in this book, the author, he's reporting what this slave woman said. She said, these cruel people, Caucasian slave masters, she said, they look like God in the face, but act like the devils in their heart. That woman was speaking from a truth that was speaking quietly in her consciousness. I don't believe she understood what she was saying. But she was speaking from a truth. And that truth is this. That when we look at Jesus to reach God, we can't see beyond Jesus to see God. Who has seen God? Nobody. Who has seen Jesus? Everybody. Because they have made a Caucasian image of Jesus for all of us to see. When Christians get in trouble, especially those who bought the concept whole, just in its total package, when they get in trouble, who do they call on? Do they say God the Father? They say, oh, Lordy Jesus. Oh, Lordy Jesus. I used to hear old folks in my neighborhood singing in their home, like a pass by their home, and hear them singing, Jesus. My Savior Jesus, my Lord Jesus, my Deliverer Jesus. What was the image of that Jesus? A yellow hair, blue eyes, frail body, Caucasian on a cross.
Okay, I'm returning back to the studio to see if anyone would have liked to share at this time. Okay, let me make this statement. It's just not... How can I put it? Yeah, you know, there are Muslims, there are sheikhs that are awaiting the return of Jesus. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. They have been miseducated concerning the return of the Christ, which is a title. They draw from the hadith that says that where the Prophet Muhammad, it is reported that he has said, in the end, they shall see me and Christ Jesus together. So they are awaiting the return of a flesh and blood man. These are Muslims that are awaiting the return of a flesh and blood man that will join with our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon both of them. So this education is not just we're on or not just aiming at people of other faiths. There's a proper education that we must have. We say that the Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him, is Almighty God's last prophet. The last, but here's their groups of Muslims that are waiting on the return of Jesus Christ. The Quran is the completion. It is the final revelation. It is the savior of the world, the word of Almighty God. So this educational process, we have to even be make sure that we educate among ourselves. Here is what I share with Christians concerning the return of Jesus Christ. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. It is written that Jesus said, speaking of himself, he said, I in the Father, meaning God, and the Father in me, meaning God. He said, I in you, and you in me. So those attributes, those laudable attributes, those laudable principles of honesty, of non-corruption, of not lying, not being corrupt, that Jesus is container contains that. And he is saying to those he was speaking to that those things that you are laudable about me, they are in you. They are in you. I'm in you. For I am no more than a word from God. I am in you. If you want to resurrect me, then begin to follow the best of your educated human nature. And I have spoken with Christians, and you should see the amazement on their face. They say, that makes sense. Resurrect the Christ that is within you, the best of yourself. That is the return of Christ, the Christ nature, not the flesh and blood man. Okay, I see we have someone to raise their hand. Let me open up your mic. 727-741. Martha Naila Abdullah, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam once again. I'm just going to indicate when you said about the belief that the flesh and blood of Christ Jesus is going to return, alayhi salam, and I asked the question, in what race? And the person speaking gave their race. So I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my sister. So this educational process, it's just not for others. We have to know this religion. We have to educate ourselves. There is the wonderful nun, Kiara Lubick, of which we are grateful to have joined with them in the Folklore movement. Her and Imam Muhammad connected on the idea of the Christ nature. Not the flesh and blood, but the Christ nature. Express the Christ nature that is within you. Love, charity, truthfulness, non-corruption, fighting against the evils that have been placed on this world. So praise be to Allah that they were able to connect at that level. The Christ nature is within me, and I'm a Muslim. The Christ nature is no more than the nature, praise be to Almighty God, that was housed in every prophet. Especially our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. So this educational process, it's not that we criticize other people, but the understanding, the perception has to be corrected. The vision has to be corrected. So that return of Christ is that nature that is within every human being. We are born pure. We are born innocent. We are born pure with no blemish, no corruption, no lying, no robbery, no theft. return back to that nature and express that now you have resurrected the Christ that is within all of us. I'll stop right there. And believe it or not, the Christians that I speak to along those lines, they get it. They get it. It's a man. I never heard it expressed like that. So anyway, I'll stop right there. We have another caller on the line. Praise be to Allah. 773-449. Assalamu alaikum. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Walaikum assalam, Sister Amira Muhammad Shahid. Thank you so much, brother. You know, my spirit is over here smiling, you know, because, well, firstly, I was in awe because I had heard before that there's Muslims that believe that Jesus won't return in the way that you explained. And I was just in awe. But like you said, we have to be re-educated. And then when you speak about the principles that Jesus lived and how it is exemplified in his character, and we all have that. And it's such a freedom to be, to know that. And like you said, when you speak to Christians and you speak to them in that way and they really get it, I tell you, you can build so many good relationships, like with that understanding, you know. And I just like the way you expressed it. I just really do, brother. And thank Allah for this program, because everything on Blog Talk is so informative, and it's a blessing from Allah to be able to have a platform like this here. And I'll just keep listening. I just want to say thank you, and Allah bless you with a wording that it can really resonate with the spirit and give us the tools that we need to go out and build relationships, because we have family members that we love, but we have differences of opinion. But there's a way to say and do anything where, you know, it can be a peace in that relationship, you know. So thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
You're welcome, my sister. Wa alaikum assalam, Amira. Praise be to Allah. Press one on your phone. That will take you out of the queue. And if you wish to speak once more, press one, and I will open up your mic, inshallah. Thank you, Amira.
Yes, sir.
Alhamdulillah. Okay. If there isn't anyone else, I want to share with you an important public service announcement at this time, and then we shall return back to the address heaven, the leadership in religion, identifying the Satan. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard-hitting.
Do we have any peace? And our people have been tricked. And if you've got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
Federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a silent killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of time to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
Alhamdulillah, and we are back. For those of you that are listening on am360.org, yes, this program would, alhamdulillah, it will end at its proper time. But if you are listening by way of the internet and you're listening to a program here on American Muslim 360, there is a period called the grace period whereby the broadcast has officially ended, but we're still able to broadcast. And as we near the end of that broadcast, if you would call into 515-605-9891, or 425-292-4253, you can continue to listen and inshallah participate. Praise be to Almighty God. We are grateful for the connections that we have with each and every last one of you. You can email us at info@cwsc.us, or tweet at uppercase CWS, lowercase HURAA. Tweet us at uppercase CWS, lowercase HURAA. And we invite you to visit the website of our parent company, the Community-Wide Shura Conference at CWSV.us. And we invite you, if you would, to leave a listener comment by calling into 910-317-0297. We so look forward to your listener comments, your advice, pro or con. You know, one of the magics of American Muslim 360 is that we can talk to each other in real time. We include you in every broadcast. Praise be to Almighty God. So I'll stop right there. I see someone else has raised their hand. I'm going to open up the mic of 718. 344,
assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam, wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Haji Lava. I'd like to comment on, and I appreciate what you were saying, Imam. And you know what, I have a cousin that would send me oftentimes texts of reference Jesus. And so one particular time, he sent me a text, and it says, Jesus woke me up. Oh, boy, it took everything out of me. Not to holler, but I text him back. I say, let me make a correction to you, cuz. I said, Jesus did not wake you. Jesus did not wake you. Jesus did not wake you near time. I said, our creator woke you, woke me, and that's who woke us up this morning. So Jesus is not to get any credit for doing anything as such as wake. I said, and if you're talking about the one that's on the cross, he's naked, he's bleeding, he couldn't help himself. I said, he's nailed to the cross. How you going to say that person right there woke you when it didn't wake itself? You know, and so I ain't heard no more about Jesus from this particular cousin. And I have dozens of cousins that always talking about Jesus. I said, okay, I got to stop this one right now. There ain't no kind of way.
You educated your cousin.
Yes. Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Well, I hope it did something, because I'm telling you, it was like a constant Jesus this, a Jesus that. No, Jesus did not wake you. The Creator woke you. That's who gets the credit. The Creator puts you to sleep, and the Creator wakes you. The Creator creates death and life, not Jesus. The Creator created Jesus. So, you know, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum. Thank you for listening. I hope it helps somebody.
Yes, ma'am, that is wonderful. You know, praise be to Almighty God. You gave him the truth. What he does with it is up to him, you know. There's someone called me a few months ago. It was my, It was my first wife. And she is an evangelist now, a Christian evangelist. And my life and her life have took a dramatic turn toward what is right and the benefits of doing right. She called me. She said, you know, God placed it on my heart that I tell you this. I said, oh, what's that? You have to accept Jesus to be saved. And I said to her, I said, you know, I am a Christian also. Christian means to be Christ-like, to follow the example of Jesus the Christ. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. I said, where it is reported that Jesus instructed his followers to stand guards and watch over him while he go a stone's throw away and pray. And he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it is reported that he prayed so hard the sweat was dripping from his face, from his forehead. I told her, the God that Jesus was praying to, that is the God that I pray to. And I haven't had any more problems from her. She couldn't even answer me.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very close. We are very close friends. We are very close because we share a daughter together. And she had no response to that. She said, well, yeah, I heard you, Kareem. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. I pray to the God that Jesus prayed to. That is how we answer these concerns.
Right.
From out of their own book. And be gentle and kind with them. Be merciful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a huge increase in our knowledge. We're grateful to Allah through his grace and his blessings. That he has increased us in knowledge, especially scriptural knowledge. And Allah says to us, pray for the increase in knowledge. But we shouldn't stop there. Allah says, pray for an increase in knowledge and mercy. And mercy. I'm saying that because Satan is full of knowledge, but certain Satan is not merciful. He doesn't have a conscience.
No.
He doesn't hear the cries of mothers over the loss of their children. That doesn't faze him. He doesn't have a conscience. So as we grow in knowledge, we become more and more conscious. We have a conscience. And what we do, we want it to be pleasing to Almighty God Allah. So we be
merciful.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, my sister. Praise be to Allah. Okay,
thank
I'm going to open up Michael 779-770. I believe this is someone that spoke earlier but didn't press one on the mic. We'll see. Error code 779-770. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. Okay, either your phone is on mute or you have stepped away from the phone. Anyway, let us move forward in this wonderful address, Heaven, the Leadership in Religion, Identifying Satan.
Now that we have preached so hard against racism, they have stopped making so many blue-eyed, blonde-haired Jesus. They are making them now so they look more Jewish. Dark hair and brown eyes. But you among, and you right here in this audience, you will bear me witness that you used to see blue-eyed Jesus and a yellow-haired Jesus, blonde-haired Jesus on the cross. They are not so popular now, but they used to be very popular. Why did they put that Jesus in a pure Caucasian? Why did they want him to look as far from Delalium as they possibly could make it? So that you would see God in them. Some stupid Delalium. Think his name is Rustin. You know this man? Civil rights leader. Yeah, that's his name. What's his name again? Bayard Rustin. That's his name. He's preaching support for the Jews. He's telling the world that Jews are the age-long fighters for freedom and human dignity. He's preaching harder for the Jews than he's preaching for Christ. The man has gone crazy. He always had a problem, but now he's gone stark raving mad. Trying to satisfy the people who pay his bills. Beautiful. He said that the Arabs have not been forced for liberation. You have been the force for liberation. Now that the Arabs have come into dollar power and are in a position to help, to support the propagation of this law in many places of the world, the enemies of the truth are coming out and trying to get all the help they can to blot out, to darken the bright image of this law. They can't attack it directly. They don't attack the Holy Quran. They don't attack the life of Prophet Muhammad. They attack the Arab people. And they attack them in an ugly, deceitful, shameless way. Blow crimes and wrongdoing up way out of proportion. Charge the Arabs with having a part in the enslavement of our forefathers. Charge them in a way to put a whole blame on them. And you have been so programmed to not to think for yourself at all that you body a lot. And you go around, they don't have to do nothing but say it, and you just buy it right away. Somebody say, well, come this long. I ain't going this long. Be enslaved us. You knew the Christians enslaved you. You all left church. Didn't nobody have to tell you the Christians enslaved you. You know Christians enslaved you. You know Caucasian Christians left Europe and went to Africa, so-called Africa, and brought those people back in this back so close together they were jammed like sardines in a can. Had to defecate in mule on each other and on themselves. Many of them died in this horrible condition. Came to America and was turned into workhorses and standing at the church and you see a Caucasian image of God on the wall of the churches. You don't see that image look like the people that enslaved us. You don't see that image look like the people that brought us on the ships and put us in bondage in America. You may say, well, there were some good Christians. You don't ask, are there some good help? You blame them all now. You condemn all now for what they said some Arabs did. How come you don't blame all the white Christians for what white Christians did? They call you a damn program played still.
Into orbit, then God's life into form.
into existence, but into form, out of the earth, and then guide my own essence into existence and into form, and guide my life rationally and morally. Do you think that same God is going to stop guiding? Or you're saying you're a prophet then, a messenger of God? No, I'm a human being. And God still loves human beings. If a human being will give himself to God, God will still guide human beings. I don't have to be a messenger. I don't have to be an angel, a prophet, or a messenger. A human being earns me a response from God. A human being, just a plain, ordinary human being. Not one who never told a lie. Not one who never committed fornication. Not one who never stole a penny or a piece of bread. A sinful human being. If he turns his heart completely to God, he is dignified and valuable enough for God to give him a response from himself. When the world comes under darkness, who will guide us if it's not God? If the church leadership becomes sightless, blind, who's going to guide us? If the Jewish leadership becomes negligent and blind and corrupt, who's going to guide us? If the Muslim leadership becomes negligent, blind, and corrupt, who's going to guide the Muslim world? God? Almighty God, who guided the people from the beginning, is always ready to guide anybody who's ready to get himself completely to his guidance. But God doesn't have to guide people anymore. God has sent his prophets to God. And people have stood between us and his prophets. So that we can't reach his prophets and get that guidance. Well, there's God's scripture. People have stood between us and God's scripture, so we can't get to that scripture. They gave us the Holy Quran in English. That was a very distorted and weak form of the message that is given in the Arabic. Translation by Caucasian. Translation by Indians who had to learn the language of the Quran themselves. Most of the devoted who really appreciate the perfect and pure language of the Holy Quran refuse to translate it in English. So what we have gotten, my friends, was inferior translations. And these inferior translations had not the power to bring us into clear truth. We had them, we were reading them. We didn't just start reading the Holy Quran in 1960. We've been reading the Holy Quran here in America since 1930. You understand what I'm saying? And earlier than that, some people brought the Quran to America. But I remember my father and my mother and the old members of this community, who some of them are still here, telling me of those early days when Mr. Fadi Muhammad himself walked around with the Quran in his arms. Gave the Quran to my father and read and preached from that Quran. When Ahmadiyya did the same thing, when Arabs that immigrated from Arabia, they were in the community, they were reading the Quran. People from the Tablighi community came into America and they read the Quran. They read it in English and they also tried to preach it in Arabic and teach it in Arabic. Nothing has opened the mind of the American people until this leadership came into existence. I'm giving you the plain facts, whether you like they were converted, they would be sensible and strong. But those were born in that circle, they didn't have the courage. They didn't have the enthusiasm. They didn't have the zeal for preaching this religion that we had. Nothing has come to America and made a strong community with power, enthusiasm, with zeal for delivering the message, for preaching it, against all odds. Nothing has done it. But this clear truth, this clear message, this clear ministry that evolved out of symbolism, out of the darkness of symbolism, out of the darkness of mysticism, out of the darkness of oriental mysticism and symbolism. A clear mind has been born, and God has blessed that clear mind. And that clear mind has led the other members to the clear truth of the Quran, to the clear message in Prophet Muhammad's life. The Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, you have come to it by the hundreds, by the thousands. And I hear we talk, always trying to talk down what has happened here in America, in this community. People from without and people from within. If I was Satan himself and saw what has happened here in this community, then you mean to tell me those people who just 50 years ago or just 100 years ago or what, like some animals, and were told that they were not even human on a level with other human beings, and wasn't given anything to lead them except what they inherited from their slave master's environment? Do you mean to tell me that there is now leadership among them, those people? That is a powerful challenge to the church leadership, to the synagogue leadership, to every leadership in the land, and that they are now leading themselves independently and offering leadership to others, that they have now come through black superiority and black supremacy after they were reduced to nothing by white supremacy, and now just in a less than a 2 years or so, they have stood up now as universal human beings, fighting against black supremacy and fighting against white supremacy. If I was Satan himself, I would take my hat off and my power off to this black man. Giving up people. When great people stand up, giving themselves 100% to Almighty God, don't expect a lot of spectators to say, it didn't happen in the past, it's not going to happen today. You're going to have to stand up for your own man, for your own leadership, and do this. Ain't nobody else going to do it. Look how long we've been fighting the evil that takes us down and takes the society down. How many leaders from the society have come in here and given this the credit that it's due? They haven't come in here and given this the credit that it is due. They're afraid to show too much support for this. The party recognized this as a clean, wholesome, powerful movement for truth and God alone. And they want to keep something that they have, that they are living off of. That's not God. That's not truth. So they can't give themselves completely to this. If it's not racism, it's materialism. If it's not that, it's moral weakness. There is something that they still want to hold on to, that they can't give up. So don't expect the world to join you. You have to pull the world behind you. You understand? The world is not going to jump a pure and righteous thing. That pure and righteous thing has to pull the world up out of its direction and filth. It takes a lot of
Okay, we shall pause right there. There's a very important point that the Imam is making. Prior to his transitioning, Imam Muhammad advised us, pray and ask God to give you the courage to follow me. Pray and ask God to give you the courage to follow me. You know, you can have a knowledge, and if the knowledge is neglected, it goes stale. It becomes dormant. It's just done by just automatic robot behavior. But we know Allah has said that there are signs in the creation. There are signs in the creation and signs within yourself, within yourselves. And Almighty God, praise to Almighty God, he taught Adam the nature of all things. That nature, it has been hidden from the world. Allah, highly praised be he, have said to us that he sends us what? Kitabu wa hikmah, the book and the wisdom, the wisdom contained in the revealed word of Almighty God. There is a wisdom and a direction and information in all of the creation, in what has been and in what has been revealed. We wonder how come the Islamic world is in second-class status or sometimes third-class status on the earth. Because they became very comfortable, very lax in their achievements, and there were wonderful achievements that came out of the Islamic soul that brought the world from out of darkness into science, technology, physics, you name it, that regenerated the quest for knowledge to want to know. So when Imam Muhammad gives us the wisdom that is behind the word, the wisdom that is the content behind the revealed word of Almighty God, there are some Muslims that say, oh, no, this is how we have done it over these centuries. But you walked away from, you became too fat. Opulence spoiled you. You became soft. You put more emphasis on the jizya, the taxes that was levied on non-Muslims living under Islamic societies. That became your motive. You followed the way of the European, these big opulent palaces, sitting somewhere with plush pillows all around you, servants all around you. You became soft. Pompous living corrupts you. It affects your thinking, your intellect. So here, Allah sends one that he has blessed with a special understanding to the hikmah, the wisdom. What does the Kaaba actually symbolize? The Kaaba, the sacred house. What does it symbolize? What is its message? So here is one that comes to revive the Ummah. And he won't preach like, he won't teach like what you are used to. Just going through the motions and not knowing the wisdom and the valuable knowledge contained in the symbolic motions and the symbolic symbols. So that's why the Imam says, you should pray to Almighty God that he gives you the courage to follow me. And don't fear the criticism of the criticizer. Let there arise from out of you a band of people promoting all that is good and prohibiting all that is bad, that is haram. And they will not fear the criticism of the criticizers. We are that people. If we don't go to sleep, if we don't get swayed by all this material around us that we're not accessing as completely as we should, but I'm just saying, you will hear criticism coming from other Muslims. Oh, he's an innovator. No, he's not an innovator. They are innovators. No, we are not innovators. We are only following the commandment of Almighty God to search for the hikmah, the wisdom, the knowledge behind these rituals, behind even the word of God. You know, Imam Muhammad introduced to the Ummah this wording, well, like we say, Rabbil Alameen, Rabbil Alameen, Lord of the, it has been, the commentators have said, Lord of the world. But Imam Muhammad, praise be to Allah, Allah blessed him with his unique understanding and through the proficiency of the Arabia Fusha, he saw that the root of Alam is Ilm. Ilm. And Ilm means knowledge. Knowledge. The ulama, those that possess knowledge. And he translated the Rabbil Alameen. He translated it to Lord of all the systems of knowledge. He is the God and the Lord of all the, whatever piece of knowledge that you glory in, God is the originator of that. Because the scientists have stepped in front of religion. The scientists have stepped in front of religion. And they present these wonderful things that Almighty God has blessed us with that bring benefit to our lives, and they are saying that they are the originator of that. So people make a logical decision. They say, well, if science has given us all of this, what need do we have of religion? But Imam Muhammad comes and he makes the correction that God is the source of all the knowledge of everything created. He spoke to the Islamic world and us, making the correction in our perception and in the thinking of the people. The people look at these wonderful things, this artificial intelligence, robotics, cell phone, you name it, satellites that orbit the earth. God is the author of that. All the systems of knowledge. And we need our religious leadership just to say that. We need our religious leadership to say that. Don't let them get away with taking credit for the benefits that Almighty God has blessed humanity with. We need religious leadership with courage to answer these atheistic scientists, engineers, physics, and all of those things. God is the author of all the systems of knowledge. No matter what system of knowledge you are involved in, God is the author of that, and God is leading you in that system. Praise be to Allah. I just wanted to say that. Let me return back to the address. If there's any of you that have any statements you would like to share, we ask you to press one on your phone. I will unmute your mic. Okay. Praise be to Allah. 727-741. As-salamu alaykum, Martha Naila Abdullah.
Alaykum as-salam. Once again, calling from St. Petersburg, Florida, and greetings of peace to everyone. And Kirk Imam, listen, I'm reflecting on they will make you, what it was, condemn you as of importance. I'm speaking of a group of people that have been designated or there's a design to incriminate and cast a shadow on so that the rest of humanity will not think of them as being important. So they began with the denouncing and criminalizing. And then when your worth is so low, no one will step to your aid when you get mown down. I'll leave it like that. When you get mown down, whether it's by character, whether it's by the lack of services and the lack of, they'll start incriminating, and then the whole world will not see you as important either. And that's what Imam mentioned about the Arab community, Arab countries, you know, just even using the word third world, forgetting about the enhancement that civilization came into by the blessings that Almighty God had endowed upon them with the sciences and you know, the mathematics and all of that. And like you say, they went to sleep, relishing in their worth, the culture and all. But I'll stop right there. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Martha. Alhamdulillah. The system that we call algebra, came from Muslims. It is an Islamic principle, algebra. Matter of fact, the numbers that we use here in the West, it's called Arabic numeral. So those are only signs of what was presented to the world. I'll stop right there. I'm going to open up the mic of my brother, Muhammad Sharif. Assalamu alaikum, Muhammad Sharif. I have honored your request, and I'm rebroadcasting this wonderful address.
Thank you, Imam Kareem, for doing that lecture again. Do you have what date and where was Imam Wong when he made that lecture?
This is an early lecture. Let me see if I can see a date or anything here. Okay, it was, yes. It was delivered May the 1st, 1977.
May 3rd, 1977.
Yes, sir.
Right. You know, brother had asked ma'am a question some time ago. Matter of fact, the ma'am asked a question. Hey, what happened with the Muslim community after passing the Prophet Muhammad? And this one of Brother Imam's well-known, that I'm just saying, granted him paradise, he thought he had to answer. He just kept raising his hand trying to get the Imam's attention. He finally got the Imam's attention. Man, so why did the Muslim, what happened, they left them in this bad condition at the end? The brother said, because they left the Quran. Imam said no, just like that with an emphatic no. They left Prophet Muhammad.
You're correct, my brother.
Sound like the same thing is happening to us now. We left Imam W.D. Muhammad. His legacy he made 77, 2 years after he became leader. He said, how many of you will repeat what I'm saying? He said, you're too coward to repeat what I'm saying. He said, you won't even repeat it in your household. He said, you become cowards. You're worse cowards than the slaves were. This was an answer in that lecture. You're worse cowards than the slaves were. That white supremacy that you're under, you won't do anything about it. You won't even talk about that white supremacy. That white Jesus on the cross. You won't say anything. You know, they played this lecture, a Thursday, your Thursday on Imam Yusuf Ramadan on EMP 60. Those three programs come on, the first one, or Imam Henry Hasid. Second program, Thursday morning, is Adam Biar speaking about money sense. And the third program, Imam Yusuf Ramadan. He played this Thursday morning. Now, right after Imam Imam Yusuf Ramadan played it, right after him, the next program came on at 10 o'clock on another program. They played that same lecture. A sister came on. She said, these two brothers, they had no connection or no communication. He told us that they're going to play this. He said, now, isn't that something? They both play the same thing. So that's one reason why I asked you to play it again this morning, Imam Green. Well, Nam said that right in 2017, 2 years after he became a leader. He was teaching us how we have come cowards. We won't even repeat what he's saying. We can't, he's saying about the leadership stand up. Leadership not standing up. He ain't saying nothing about what the man said. The man gave us so much things for business development. We haven't did anything as the man. I mean, this is leadership won't have us stood up. The man repeats, leadership ain't said nothing about what the man said, about what he's given for leadership. And I was telling people what they should do. Listen to Prophet Muhammad's last public address. Matter of fact, that's the man said in the last a few minutes, man just said, you should be a Muslim like Prophet Muhammad. So I was saying, he should go back and listen to Prophet Muhammad's last public address. And then go back and listen to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's last public address, the Sages Day 1974. And listen to Imam W.D. Muhammad's last public address 2 days before he transitioned. It's titled Shared Freedom Space. Shared Freedom Space. Imam, he said, you, Imam, you should stop trying to wait for everybody to come. It never happened that way. Everybody never came. Yo, get out of that mind and wait for everybody. If there are 3,000 or 4,000 people, this is the answer in his last public address. He said, there are 3,000 or 4,000 of you, of people, and there's only 3 or 4 of you. Allah has chosen you to lead the men. Take them to the goal. His last purpose, that's when you left with us. He said, you stop waiting for everybody. Everybody's not going to come. It has never happened. If there are 3,000 or 4,000, and you are only 3 or 4 of you, Allah has chosen you to lead to many, to the goal. Imam Kareem, I hope that you get an opportunity to pray to Imam Muhammad's last public address called Share Freedom Space.
Inshallah, if I can locate it, I'm quite sure I can. Yes, sir. But, you know, praise be to Allah, we have got our footing once more, and it's not all of us, but we have got our footing. There are efforts being made toward financial stability. I have the January 17th edition of Muslim Journal, January 17th, 2023. And on the front page, beautiful front page, is the heading, Do For Self, NMBC host David K. Hassan, Building Dedication. So there is a small group that is focused on strengthening us financially. Praise be to Allah. You know, it is happening, but don't look for everybody. You know, you are so correct. Never have anything of any great significance been done that everybody was involved in the beginning of that effort. So praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. So I want to...
Now, speaking about the Muslim Journal, look here. The April 18th through the 19th, 2024 issue of Muslim Journal. And page 3. Dr. Cornel West inspires the Imam Masjid right before Ramadan. Dr. Cornel West came, he spoke at the Atlanta Masjid and said, this is an article, I don't know if you got that, people, and I hope everyone get that issue. Get this issue.
Yes, sir.
Imam
Muhammad, I've got 3 minutes of broadcast time left. I have to get out of the way for the next excellent broadcast following this broadcast, preparing to make it in the land of plenty, hosted by
okay,
our beloved.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Delacy Omar, praise be to Allah. It is a wonderful broadcast, and I pray that we all listen in and participate, praise be to Allah, participate in this wonderful broadcast, preparing to make it in the land of plenty. Thank you, Muhammad, and I'm grateful that you asked that I would play this address once more. Inshallah, next week we want to move to another important address. Praise be to Allah. So I thank you. May Allah continue to bless you and bless us all. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah. You're welcome.
Yes, sir. A very solid supporter of AM360. Okay, I got 2 minutes left. I'm going to open up the mic of 213-925. I got 2 minutes left. I don't want to get in the way of our beloved Imam Delacy Omar. Assalamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. Can you hear me, my brother?
Yes, sir. I've got 90 seconds. Please, straight to the point.
Okay. Well, straight to the point. Straight to the point is, we have to understand fractional reserve banking. Do you know what that is, fractional reserve banking? Because in the talk that Imam Muhammad gave that I was
talking
about. I
have 60 seconds, my brother. If you would, call back in next week, please, and share what your valuable content, if you would, please, but I must leave the air, unfortunately.
Will do.
Yes.
Salam.
Oh. Okay, assalamu alaikum to everyone, and to tune back into American Muslim 360 for the broadcast of Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. I leave you with the greetings of peace. Assalamu alaikum. Now my phone won't cut off. Boy, don't tell me they aren't tapping our phones.